It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball center field. It's hit well. Grisham back. It is gone! Another Mother's Day miracle for the Brewers.
Jeff Levering is brought to you by Carbless Premium ready-to-drink cocktails. Carbless, less is more. Find Carbless at your local grocer today.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you, and I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
First and foremost, I need to apologize to our friend Jeff Levering, who on the stream just moments ago had to watch me absolutely dominate that egg Sammy. Sorry about that, Jeff. It was probably very
disturbing.
Didn't
see it.
Oh, thank goodness.
No, nope, didn't see it. That's
very
okay,
self-conscious
but I your...
about what was happening with that avocado. It was just kind of squeezing its way out of the bagel. You can picture it now. I'm painting a picture, dazzling details and whatnot. What was the best part of yesterday's 9-3 win at Wrigley Field?
All of it. You know, coming to Wrigley and winning a game like that is always fun. I think for me, it's whenever you get the somber Cubs fans that's the best part of it. When you just kind of put them in the ground early and they never have that opportunity to get back up. That's a really good thing. And they could have got in. They could have got back into that ball game last night. I'm glad the Brewers just put their thumb on him and said, no, this is not happening.
What is it about Shota that the Brewers just have his number? Because he's good against other teams, but the Brewers just light him up every time, it seems.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm not sure what it is. They just are really patient. The first time through the order, he was really good. First three innings, threw 34 pitches, and then the Brewers just got to him in the fourth inning. They waited him out. Second time through, they were more patient with their at-bats. But there's something about Shota against the Brewers, and it's like the kryptonite. He's got an ERA over, I think it's 7.5 now against the Brewers. His ERA against everybody else in the league is way under 3. So there's just something about his mix that the Brewers are just okay with, and it's more about waiting him out. He's not going to blow you away with his fastball. That's the thing. So if you can see that split out of his hand and make a decision on that pitch quickly, you can have a good day against him.
Christian Yelich sent one out of there yesterday. Obviously, it's nice to have him back in the lineup. What's the biggest difference you've seen from Yelly now that he's been back?
He's hitting the ball hard, which is great. I mean, he was hitting the ball hard before he left, too. But at the same time, it's just, I think we talked about this last week when he debuted, when he was about to debut against the Padres, and then he was out for a few days and then he came back. But he just brings balance to the batting order. He allows guys to get back into where they usually slot in the order. And I think that the Brewers play with more relaxation, but for Yelly, he just looks like he's confident at the plate. He looks like he's taking good swings. He's taking tough pitches. And when you take tough pitches, it means you're locked in with your eyes.
What has allowed Jake Bowers to take that next step? Because I think it started last year, the last month of the season, Jeff. He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So now you got to find different ways to get in the lineup, which leads to, you know, guys like Sal Frelick playing center field as he did in the NLCS, and Bowers back in the outfield last night. So they slide Jackson over to center. But, I mean, you take a look at his numbers. We always knew he had the power, hit the big home run back in 2024 in that game 3 against the Mets in the pinch hitting role. Mm-hmm. But what's allowed him to now be more consistent? He is, at age 30 right now, off to the best start of his career.
So this is a twofold answer for me, Gabe. And number one, on the mechanical side of things, he's much simpler. He's quieter. He understands what he needs to do at the plate. He's really just, okay, pitch to pitch. This is what I'm going to try and do and put my best swing on the baseball. That's the mechanical easy question. The more philosophical answer that I have for you, and he's admitted this, when you get close to the end of your career, or it feels like you're at the end of your career and you're playing free, like I'm not playing because the guy behind me is going to take my job. I don't have any stress. He has 2 kids now at home. And he admits, he goes, you know what? If my job ended tomorrow, I know I would be okay in life because they're more important to me. So that's perspective. And for Jake Bowers to have that, and now to have success, he's living his best life. And I think that freedom mentally is more than the mechanical stuff, more than anything else. I think that's the biggest key for Bowers.
There's an article on Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Jeff Levering, who joins us on the Yingling Hotline, the oldest brewery in America now, officially in Wisconsin. DG Yingling and Son, Pottsville, PA, enjoy responsibly. Like Chad Patrick, the brewer Shane Drouin embracing his new bullpen role. We talk so often about chemistry and guys accepting their role and doing their roles well. What role has that played in the brewer's success, right? Guys who might want to be in the starting rotation, might want to do different things, but accept where they fit in this team, this variation of the team, and then end up doing it well.
Yeah, it's just the buy-in. It's the buy-in that you're not in AAA and you're in the big leagues. And this is your opportunity to prove to us what you've got. We were talking about it on the TV broadcast last night about how in 2018, you had a young Brandon Woodruff coming out of the bullpen. You had Freddie Peralta, who was a starter and also coming out of the bullpen. And Corbin Burns made his debut that year. He was pitching out of the bullpen. He wasn't even starting. So you have all these guys that are buying into this role, and it gives you more of a runway to have success. And for a guy like Chad Patrick, a guy like Shane Drouin, I think some of it, not knowing that you're going to pitch on every fifth day, show up at the ballpark, you don't know if you're going to pitch. Now, today, Shane Drouin's not going to pitch. He knows he's not going to pitch today because he went 4 1/3 innings last night. But, you know, showing up at the ballpark and not knowing when you're going to pitch gives you some freedom. Hey, okay, I got to be ready. I got to be ready to go. And that bullpen phone calls, they could be calling my name. So I think for them, having that ease of not knowing. Chad Patrick's talked about this too. He's had a little case of the bombs before starts. So if you know, hey, listen, I got 5 days. I got to get this out of me and I got to think about it. And okay, I got to go over the scouting reports and all these different things. And they're going to say my name first. I got to come out of bullpen. That's a lot of pressure on you. But when you have no time to think about it, just go out there and do your job.
Case of the bombs?
Yeah, that's... For,
love
it's,
that.
It's a new
it's,
like
the
that?
Band name for sure. Somebody needs to write that down. Ladies and gentlemen, Case of the Bombs.
Now on the main stage at Summerfest, Case of the Bombs.
Exactly. All right, big radio voice. There we go.
The only thing I'm disappointed with the pitching last night is they could have brought in Ashby, I think, to finish out the fifth and just vulture a win. I feel like that's the only thing that I'm disappointed with. Could have easily picked up another win for him last night, and then Drouin could have pitched the final four innings, but just a third of an inning, pick up the win for Ashby. But the raw numbers for Brandon Sprout, if you just look at the box score and you look at his overall numbers this year in 9 games, it's unimpressive. But when I'm watching him last night, it just feels like he's so close because he's got all these pitches, Jeff. What has to happen for him in order for the numbers to start matching what you and I and everybody else is seeing with their eyes when they see Brandon Sprout pitch?
Yeah, it just feels like there's one inning where it just kind of goes sideways for him. I mean, in the first inning, he walks the first two hitters in the game, and you kind of think in the back of your head, oh boy, where's this one going to go? First opportunity in Wrigley, and then he just shut it down from there. He gave up his first hit in the fifth inning. So we said it again, that line from Sprout is deceptive. The line that he threw against the San Diego Padres to pick up his first win was very deceptive. He gave up 3 runs in each of those outings, but it was a little thing here and a little thing there. Yesterday, it was a bomb onto Waveland from Dansby Swanson that is still rolling, I think, in the streets of Chicago. But the Brewers had an 8-0 lead at the time. So at that point, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, you see it. You see it. You see the building.
The
you
cutter,
see the building blocks. Oh, it's gross. It's so good and it's so fun to watch. And he's throwing sinkers that are tying guys up that they don't even want to hit. I mean, the Fernando Tatis swing 2 starts ago, I think Tatis is still having nightmares about that fastball in on his hands.
The sinker he threw to strike him out was filthy.
That's gross. So gross. He did another one to Pete Crow Armstrong. So, I mean, for me, it's just he's got to continue to stack these up and have really good outings, and the numbers will be there at the end of the season. I think the Brewers are looking at the numbers and going, okay, that's fine. The numbers are what they are. We believe in this stuff.
Jeff Levering hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, Miz on the mound today. I don't think are breaking any news when we say Miz has become must-see TV, must-watch television. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. I mean, Wrigley will be electric. They're going to be trying to get in the young kid's head. What do you expect from him tonight?
I think he is going to be amazing tonight. He's only pitched at Wrigley once. If I got to go back and do my research on that. I should have done that before I came on your show. But I think he's only had one appearance at Wrigley in the regular season. It was last August. And he was brilliant until he walked three and then gave up a three-run double to Michael Busch. So I think that Miz is going to go out there and just be what he has been over his last few starts, which is unhittable and the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. He has been unbelievable. And I think once he gets that adrenaline pumping through that Wrigley crowd, tonight's the night where he might hit legit 104, not 103.6 or 103.7, we're rounding up. He could get to 104 today.
What do you think they do with the rotation going forward? Obviously, they called up a couple of guys, got some spot starts in the series up there in Minnesota. What are they going to settle on now as we start to get a little bit more rhythm into the season?
Well, the Brewers have been blessed with a lot of off days. There's been at least one off day every single week until the month of June. That's going to come to a close here pretty soon. So I think for now, through this turn through the rotation, the Brewers are more than likely going to stick with Gasser as their fifth guy. He'll get one more start. The key is Brandon Woodruff. I mean, he's going to face live hitters, I think, his next time out. And then from there, maybe build up with another live appearance. I don't think he wants to go out on a rehab assignment because he wants to save his bullets for the big leagues, which I don't blame him. If you're going to use him in the big leagues, like, you on the driving range, Gabe. Don't waste your good shots out there.
Makes sense.
So
speaking my language.
So for me, it's the key is Woody. So whenever he comes back, then everybody kind of gets back into that rhythm. You could potentially have a 6-man rotation with what Chad Patrick and Shane Drone are doing out of the bullpen, giving you multiple innings. You could have a piggyback situation. I think the Brewers are in a really good place with where that rotation is right now.
I feel like I've waited long enough to talk to you about the ABS, Jeff. Okay, and I'm not talking talking about your abs. I don't need to know about that. I'm talking about the ABS system in the game yesterday. How does it happen when there is a challenge called and everybody can see it on the screen at home that it was a strike and in fact should have been overturned, and yet the home plate umpire says the call stands? Tell us what happened and how Major League Baseball can allow something like that to happen in this day and age.
So the scoreboard had a glitch in it, and the actual challenge did not fire. The technology did not fire with the scoreboard. So it was just the blank screen with Brewers challenge. So when that happens, and this is specifically been relayed to us through Major League Baseball, if that happens on the field, the call stands and the team does not lose their challenge. Now, in the moment we were talking about it, we were seeing it on the TV. It should have been a strike and it ended up not costing the Brewers anything, but it also did not cost them their challenge. They originally took the challenge away on the scoreboard, but after going back and listening to it, the umpire did say the call stands and they retain their challenge. He never lost the challenge. The scoreboard just took the challenge away. And then a couple innings later, the umpire said, due to technical difficulties with the scoreboard, they cannot put the challenge back. And then magically, it goes back up to two. Okay, so that at the end of the day, they handled it correctly. So if that does happen in a game and the function does not go on the scoreboard and the call stands, the team does not lose their challenge.
I guess I just assumed
they handled it correctly.
I guess I just assumed, Jeff, that there was somebody in the umpire behind home plate's ear that could say, okay, the technology at the ballpark isn't working, but here in quote unquote New York, I always just say New York, I don't know where any of this stuff happens, but quote unquote New York, we can see that that was a strike, so call it a strike. Like, why doesn't that exist?
So it does. You could, and they do have the technology to talk to the people in New York, and they have an earbud. They have an earbud to get that right. And it was told to us originally that that was going to be the case in the circumstance of a technical problem. They could get it in the ear and say, okay, nothing is working at the moment, but yes, that's a strike. Now, if it is not working at all that particular day, no challenges. It's just
what?
We're gonna do this thing old school. If the replay system is out for both teams, then it's just old school let's have some fun. Let's open up that zone, Angel Hernandez. Here we go.
Or shrink the zone in Angel's case
at
times.
I'm smelling a conspiracy theory from some of these home IT departments. You can't be, oops, I hit a switch. The ABS isn't working.
You're right. Wouldn't put it past some teams.
So is the reason they don't want to, if it's not working on the scoreboard, it's a transparency thing. Like they want everybody there to see whether it was a ball or a strike. So they don't want to make it seem like, you know, something's happening behind the scenes. Is that the reason?
I think so. And there's no way to prove one way or the other to everybody in the ballpark, even though we saw it.
Yeah, I was about to say,
that's what was crazy is people at home could see it on the television broadcast and couldn't figure out why it was a disconnect with the people who were watching the game internally. Wild stuff.
Yeah. If that's the case, wouldn't that have to imply that the MLB has some sort of control over the scoreboard? Because as Jen alluded to, if you decide, oops, doesn't work as the home team, you could just make sure challenges don't exist and go your way.
You could, but I think there's some checks and balances on that stuff.
Well, let's hope.
let's hope. Let's hope that we're doing dress rehearsals on that ABS system before the game starts.
Playoff game. Here we go. All of a sudden, and it's working just fine. And then all of a sudden, glitch.
Yeah. Oh no! Who hit that switch?
I have my notes. Jeff, you're the best. Yeah. We really appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great call, and we will hopefully be talking about a Brewers win streak next time we chat with you.
You got it. We'll chat with you next week.
Always great to have Jeff Levering on the show. And of course, a very exciting series as the Brewers are facing the Cubs right now. Winners of the first game of the series. The Miz is on the hill tonight. He was right. I think Mizorowski has gone 0-1 with a 5.63 ERA in two career starts against the Cubs. I guess I assume one of those at Wrigley and one of those at AmFam Field. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right for this.
Craving more toppings and a crispy crust? Head to Festival Foods for Screamin' Sicilian Tavern Style Pizza. More toppings, more flavor, and that classic tavern style crunch. More is amore. If you haven't had the Screamin' Sicilian Tavern Style Pizza, again, it's everything you've come to expect from a Screamin' Sicilian. Just with that crispy, unbelievable crust that they have figured out. Yet another great crust for Screamin' Sicilian. It's only $4.99. Unbeatable deal on a fan favorite. The sale, though, it ends today. You got to get there today. Grab it while it lasts. Find Screamin' Sicilian Tavern-style pizza in the frozen aisle at Festival Foods.